Okay, it seems a very appropriate day considering we've got a wedding anniversary as well, doesn't it really? A promise is a promise. We're going to read Genesis 21. And just look, it's a very short passage really, but there's some interesting things in it. And it's about Abraham. We're following Abraham's life at the moment. Genesis 21, and the last little section of chapter 21, verse 22. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do. Now, swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me, or my children, or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you are living as an alien the same kindness that I have shown to you." Abraham said, "I swear it." Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, "I didn't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today." So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, "What's the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you set apart by themselves?" He replied, "Accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well." So that place was called Beersheba, because the two men swore an oath there. And after the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called upon the name of the Lord, the Eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. So, that's just a little story about what happened between these guys. So, it came to pass. And Abimelech and Phicol. Abimelech is the king. That's his royal name. Abimelech means my father is king. Yeah. So that's his title. And his army commander, Phicol, they come and visit Abraham, who's set up his home in their area, as it were. Yeah. Right. So they come to see him. What are they coming for? What are they worried about? I think they're worried that Abraham is a very powerful man. He's got virtually an army, you know, and they're worried that if he takes a bit of a nasty turn towards them, because he's dealt with kings before, and so I think they want to get him on their side. That's really what it's about. Yeah. So they come and see if they can talk sweetly and so on and get things sorted out nicely. Yeah. Right, so next week. So they say, "God is with you in all that you do." They notice something. Whatever Abraham touched turned to gold. It just worked for Abraham. They could see that God, and they didn't know about God really, but they're beginning to find out there is a God that's bigger than all of theirs, who blesses this guy called Abraham. So they realize this guy has got real possibilities. Yeah? So God is with you. Now therefore, swear to me, by God, that you will not deal falsely with me. I think there may be a little bit of a harking back. Do you remember how he conned them? Abraham saying that his wife was his sister.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe he's got that in his mind. Yeah. Right. "Do not deal falsely with me, with my offspring or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness I've done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt." So he's saying, you know, one good deed deserves another. I'll be good to you. I've let you stay here. I've given you all these blessings. Yeah. Will you reciprocate, you know, will you make a treaty with me? So that's what he's after. Right, next and please. So Abraham said, "I will swear, I'll make a promise." Yeah. And I've got a few verses for you. It's important that when you make promises, yeah, that you keep them, of course. Abraham is doing something. He didn't know about the letter to the Romans, but he's learnt something about how God works, and he wants us to live. And Paul says this in Romans, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." You don't go looking for trouble. You don't make trouble. You try to be pleasant and affable and get on with people. Right? But interestingly, he says, "If it is possible," you know there are some people, they're just not easy to get on with, are they? Yeah? But you do your best. You do your best. That's what he's getting at. And Abraham's doing that. He doesn't want trouble. He's quite happy to stay where he is and be left in peace, I guess. So he says, I promise. He's willing. Now then, he makes it, this statement, I will swear. So I've got, maybe as the question comes into your mind, I've got it for you. Next then, please. Abraham says, I will swear. What does Jesus say about making oaths? Well, this is what he says. Yeah? Now, just see what you think. Again, you heard it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So, did Abraham do wrong by taking an oath? No, he didn't. What's Jesus getting at there? It's not about making oaths, which are solemn, binding oaths in public and official situations. Right? You make an oath when you marry. Yeah? I will. You're making the promise. Yeah? But it's when people in Jesus' day were taking oaths, you know, I swear over my dead mother's body or whatever it is, that I'll do this, that and the other, something. They were trivialising what it was all about. So Jesus is saying, is in normal daily life, you don't have to have it in triplicate. You don't have to have it sort of with a blood signing underneath. Just say yes or no and mean what you say. Okay, so that's what Jesus is dealing with. Back to Abraham next week. Yeah? Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. Apparently, Abraham had built dug a well. You need wells for your animals, water supply. And Abimelech's servants said, hey, it's ours, you know, and pinched it. And so there'd been a bit of an argument. And so Abraham tells Abimelech, he says he rebuked him, he told him off. They're about to make a treaty. What's he doing? He's getting things right so that they don't fester later on. There's something needs sorted out. When things need sorting out, it's no good under the carpet, dear friends. They need resolving. Yeah? If there's going to be peace between Abraham and his mates, right, there'd better be some things sorted out. So that's what he's doing. Some matters need to be resolved. Brothers and sisters, how you do it and when you do it, it's important to know God's guidance in that. But it's no good just pretending things are okay when they're not. So Abraham is getting it dealt with. Right, next slide, please. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. It's a complete bolt out of the blue for Abimelech. Yeah, he has no idea what some of his workers have been up to. That's a problem for bosses, isn't it? Yeah? Because, you know, there you are trying to run a decent business and somebody goes and undermines you, who's working for you. And you have to take responsibility. Not very good. Anyway, Abimelech says, you know, what could he have done? What could Abimelech have done? He could have got miffed, and got angry, and offended, and start saying, who do you think you are to talk to me like that? But he doesn't. He actually says, I didn't know about this, Abraham. I've not done this. It's nothing to do with me. I know they're my guys and I'll sort them out, but it's not my intention that they pinch wells off you. Okay? So, and I think Abimelech shows amazing grace in that.
Yeah.
You know? It could have been a bit of a bust-up. And yet, he graciously says, I didn't know about it, honest, so let's sort it out. Can you do that? Or when someone confronts you, what do you do? Defences up, guns out, shooting every direction. Well, it's not good, is it? No, well, we need to learn a little bit of humility. Might be helpful, yeah? Okay, Abimelech does really well on that one. Full point. Next, please. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. So he gets all these sheep and these oxen. Why did he give them to Abimelech? Okay. It's a gift. It's a token of his goodwill, isn't it? That's what he's saying, isn't it? Yeah, I'll give you some animals. Yeah, I'm friendly. We'll share. It'll be good. Yeah. So that's what he does. He gives them these animals as a token of his willingness to be a friend. Yeah. And he made a covenant. The two of them made a covenant. The covenant is between two people. They make an agreement. Right. Next week. Abraham set apart seven ewe lambs from the flock And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 new lambs that you set apart by themselves?" He replied, "Accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well." Can you see there's 7 lambs there?
Yeah.
I hid one behind the other. There. 7, yeah. Right, so he gets 7 new lambs, 7 these lambs, yeah. And he makes a particular point of separating them from the flock and shows them to Abimelech. And he says, "What's it all about?" And he says, "This is a sign and a guarantee and a witness. I dug the well." He's not paying for the well. He's just making it obvious he's the owner of the well. Yeah? And these lambs are a witness to that. Yeah, so the lambs are going to be a witness. Whenever they say Baa, they say to Abimelech, "It's Abraham's well." Okay, you got the idea. Right. So, that's what it's next, please. "Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba." Right, there's the well at that's the well at Beersheba, by the way.
It's still got water in it.
It's good water there as well, apparently. Yes, still good water. Yeah. Whether it was like that in Abraham's day, I have my doubts. Right, they've probably got tourist things around now as well. But anyway, why is it called Beersheba? Well, you Hebrew scholars will know the answer to this one. Right? Beer means well, and Sheba means 7 or an oath. Yeah? So it's well of 7 or well of oath. Where did the 7 come from? The sheep. The lambs, yeah, the ewes, yeah? Or it could be a well of the oath. Right. More likely the 7, but there you are. So the place is named after what happened there. Abraham does that all the time. He makes a note of what's happened where God's been good to him. Do you do that? You make a note. I say this when I do mention it. Yeah. Some people keep diaries, you know, and they write down the things that God's blessed them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should do. I've done for 30 odd years.
It's in your heart.
It's in my heart. It's in my head for a short period of time.
Yeah.
The problem is we seem to get lost somewhere along the way. But Abraham was wiser than I am, and what he did was he made places memory plots. Yeah. It's like having your photos, isn't it? The album of photos and so on. It's something to remind you of what's happened. Abraham does that. The name of the place is a reminder of the blessing. And that God made a covenant. They made a covenant together. Right, next slide, please. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Are they happy bunnies?
Yeah.
Yes, they are, right. And it's interesting, they didn't just come and have a meal and talk about things. They actually formally made a commitment. That's important. Making a commitment is really important. That's what I say about marriage. Marriage isn't just a piece of paper.
No.
It's a commitment. A commitment to each other. And it provides for these guys, for example, a basis of trust and security and a healthy relationship. They know that when he said it, it's going to be meaningful. Yeah? Right, so commitment is really, really important. I hope you get this, you young people. Yeah? Commitment is important. And in fact, when things get tough, as things do get tough, you'll find commitment is what keeps you going. Yeah? Right, next slide, please. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Well, that's a tamarisk tree at Beersheba. Doesn't look too good now. I don't think it's the same one as Abraham planted. Yeah? But that's a proper grown one. Tamarisk tree. Yes? Now then. Yeah? Abraham's doing something in planting this tree. He's made a commitment. I said, we can make commitments. I have decided to follow Jesus. Yeah? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Because if you haven't, you really should. Because it's the best thing you'll ever do. There are 2 good things I've done in my life. I don't know about the rest, but 2 good things. Yeah. One was getting married to my dear Jean, and the other is making a commitment to Jesus. Yeah. Right? Anyway, I've decided to say yes, I will. Right, okay. So, what's Abraham doing planting a tamarisk tree? Does anybody know? You biologists. Anything about tamarisk trees? I have to look this up, by the way. Yes? It produces salt in its leaf surface, yeah? So, in a dry, arid place,
get some salt supplies,
yes? Salt is pretty important. When you're in a... You lose salt, you're in trouble, yeah? That's one of the things. But also, you can see by the... When it's grown, fully, shade, it's an evergreen. Right? When the sun's up, it's nice to be in the shade of a tree. Mm. Yeah? Okay? So, that's good. So, why does Abraham plant a tamarisk tree? Because I can tell you, he didn't get it from one of the local garden centres fully grown. Yeah? He planted it when it was little. What's he saying? His future he's thinking about. He's looking forward to a future in this place. Yes, the commitment is a commitment to not just now, but the future as well, right? So, his planting is a commitment to the future, of what he's intending to do. Next slide, please. Then Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. How about that? Many days. We're not told how many. But quite a while, as the tree grew, and things went all right. And, yeah, he stayed there. And do you know what he did when he stayed there? Kept his promise. Yeah. So as time goes by, you see, making a commitment is vital. It is. Yeah? You don't just drift into something, you make a point of decision. Yeah? That's the case with becoming a Christian. You know, you may have heard about Jesus and discovered about him over the years and whatever, but has there come a point where you say, yes, Lord, I commit my life to you? Yeah, that's important. Yeah? Making a commitment is important. But you know and I know, starting a race is all well and good. It's finishing that counts. That's when the prizes are given out, yeah? You don't get prizes for starting, you get prizes for finishing, yeah? Right, so, keeping a commitment is important, dear friends. Really, really important. Yeah? Next slide, please. And they lived happily ever after. Is that right? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way, does it? There's ups and downs, challenges, but the commitment keeps you going. Yes? And, Paul says this about himself and others. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. That's the word I want to emphasize. If there's anything you remember this morning, the word is faithful. Yeah? Faithful means you stick at it. Yeah? You keep trusting, you keep believing, you stick at it. Yeah? And that's what you need to do. Jesus says, you know, it's required that you, well, Paul's saying it, but it's the Lord saying it through him, yeah? It's required that you're faithful. There are things that you might not be, successful, rich, famous, yeah? You might not be those, but you can be faithful. Right? Leave all the others to the Lord, yeah? But he's asking us to be faithful. Keep trusting him. Keep going with him, yeah? Because there'll be things that try to stop you, pull you off. Things happen. Life. Yeah? Keep faithful. Because, last one. Ta-da! In the end, being faithful has its rewards.
Yeah.
Yes? It does. That actually has rewards before the end. Yeah? But in the end, being faithful has rewards. And there's a parable Jesus told about different servants. He gave one a pile of money and another one a smaller pile and so on. And when he came to taking stock at the end, right, the guy who made it work, didn't matter how much you started with, it's what you did with it that counts, yeah? Right? The guy that made it work, he says to them all, exactly the same phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. Good? Yes, into the joy of the Lord. He's got good, right? There's the promise. The blessing for doing it the Lord's way is he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can't beat that, dear friend. So, are you looking forward?
Yes.
Do you think you'll make it?
Yes.
By the grace of God, yes. By the grace. We can't do it on our own.
No.
I re-emphasize that again. You will not live the Christian life without Christ. You can't do it. You need Jesus by his Holy Spirit in you to enable you to do it. But when he's in you, all things are possible, it would seem. What Jesus wants to do, Jesus can do in you and me. Isn't that amazing? So, dear Lord Abraham, he made a promise and he kept it. Thank the Lord for that. He's meant to be your example. And God bless him for it. God blesses us as we seek to be faithful to him. Let's pray, shall
we?
Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who has made a promise to us. That whoever puts their trust in Jesus, you'll never turn them away. Lord, thank you You are faithful to your promises. You're faithful to yourself, Lord, because you are the faithful God. And we bless you, Lord, that we can ask your help as we make our commitments to you. Lord, if there are some here this morning that haven't put their trust in you, Lord, enable them to respond to that drawing magnetism of the grace of God in Jesus, that our sins, which are many, can all be wiped out as we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can ask you to help us day by day. Lord, we realize we can so easily fall, we can so easily go off track, unless we have independence on you. Help us, Lord, grant us much grace, we need it. And thank you, Lord, you're able and willing to help us all the way. And Lord, then, having blessed us and helped us and provided for us, you then reward us. Lord, it's amazing. You are so generous, and we love you, Lord. And we say thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.